You're listening to KBOO FM. This is Black Book Talk for March 2010. I'm Patricia Welch, one of your co-hosts. In March of 2003, when Operation Iraqi Freedom was only days old, world headlines were made when a U.S. Army convoy was attacked in the city of An Nasiriyah, en route to Baghdad. Several soldiers were killed and others were taken prisoner. Jessica Lynch became the name and face associated with this tragedy, but another female soldier, Shoshana Johnson, was also wounded and captured in the ambush. A video of Shoshana being interrogated by her captors was soon broadcast on Spanish-language television and then picked up by American media. Shoshana had become the first black female prisoner of war in United States history. She was held for 22 days. When Shoshana returned to the United States, she received numerous awards for her valor, including the Bronze Star, Purple Heart, and Prisoner of War medals. She appeared on news networks and national television shows. She was still unable to discuss what really happened in Iraq until now. Shoshana Johnson is the author of a book called I'm Still Standing, and it tells the story of what happened to her in Iraq, and more importantly, what has happened to her since. We are very pleased to welcome Shoshana Johnson to Black Book Talk. I hope you're on the line. Ms. Johnson, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, and I want to say that my co-host, Emma Jackson Ford, is, I believe, also on the line. Emma, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Wonderful. Okay. I'm so happy that you're here, and certainly for Women's History Month, and this is the end of Black History Month, and what you did was really historic, not just being the first African-American woman to be a prisoner of war, but to stand up and speak about what happened and what the experience has been for you. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened during your time in Iraq?
Well, it was the first days of the conflict. We were on our way to Baghdad when our convoy was ambushed. As you said earlier, 11 soldiers were killed, and myself and five others were taken, actually four others were taken as prisoners of war. You know, we were moved several times during our captivity, interrogated, and after 22 days of wondering day after day if we were going to survive, we were rescued by the United States Marine Corps.
Wow.
Okay, and what happened when you returned home? How did you feel about it? What was it like?
Hello,
can you hear me? Okay, we were wondering, tell us a little bit more about what happened once you were freed and once you came home. Let me see. Ms. Johnson, Shoshana, are you hearing us? Okay, audience members, it seems like for some reason there's a missing connection and our guest isn't hearing us. Let's see, Emma, are you still on the line?
I'm here. I'm thinking maybe she'll reconnect in a moment.
Okay, I'm certainly hoping so. But while she is, I want to mention something, and Emma, you can weigh in on this too. I was very surprised to realize that she and Jessica Lynch, or to be reminded that they were in the same convoy that was attacked. This was a smaller part of a larger group. Ms. Johnson was a cook, and I think a lot of the people in there were like non-combat troops. They found that they'd gone to the wrong place, and by the time they turned around and had to go back into the city and got lost, I mean, they were just sitting there. And I remember reading something in which she said that when she looked around, the people that she saw firing on her were not her image of what an army would be, not the image of the people who would be, quote unquote, the enemy. These were just folks in tennis shoes and shirts and jeans, you know, just people. Okay, great. People from the community. Hi. Okay. Can we call you Shoshana?
Shoshana is fine.
Shana?
Yeah.
Okay, that's even better. Great. We're happy that you're back. We were just kind of talking about what happened. And one of the things that I said is that I had sort of forgotten, or I'm not even sure if I realized that you and Jessica Lynch were a part of the same convoy.
Yes, we're in the same company.
Okay, because there was so much media about her and so much media about what she supposedly did, and then we found out that was not quite true, and sort of a splash of media about you, but not quite the same. How does that come to be, that two people who are in the same company and have the same experience have sort of different receptions when they get back?
Well, during our when we were captured, we were separated. She was kept in a hospital in a Nazaria.
Okay.
And myself and the men were moved to Baghdad. So our rescues were different and at different times.
Okay.
And yes.
I was going to say, and the fact that you went there not as a combatant, but you went there to cook, what were you expecting beforehand?
Well, you have to understand, whether you're a cook or a secretary or a nurse, a soldier is a soldier. You're trained as a soldier first. I knew how to fire my weapon, throw a grenade, and so forth. So I think sometimes people get the misconception that although we have a secondary job, that our secondary job means that we're not trained just soldiers, and that's not true. Now, was I trained as a infantry or armor, a combat-related soldier? No. But and I really didn't think I would ever see combat the way I did. But, you know, being in the military is a dangerous job. I don't want people to get the wrong idea and think that you can ever be, quote-unquote, safe when you're in the military. Every aspect of the military job is dangerous.
You had a 2-year-old daughter when you went into the military. Would that be correct, or simply when you went to Iraq?
When I went to Iraq.
Okay, but why did you choose to go into the military? Because it is dangerous. It is dangerous.
Well, I come from a military family. My dad did 20 years. My sister was on active duty at the same time as I myself. Cousins, aunts, uncles. So the military was not something new to me.
Okay.
And I also wanted college money and the experience. You know, you get to do a lot of different things and encounter a lot of different people when you're in the military. And I definitely think it helped me grow as a person.
Okay. Then why did you leave? Because not that long after coming back to the States, you resigned, right?
I requested a medical discharge about a couple months after I got home. You know, I originally thought I could finish out my 20-year career and, you know, get the culinary education that I wanted so badly. But the physical and mental issues that I was dealing with was a little too much. And just dealing with military life on top of that was not easy.
Tell us a little bit more. I mean, it would seem that you would have been a war hero and that, gosh, you know, I mean, that your path would have been set and very, very easy given all that you had been through.
Well, no. Just because of what happened doesn't give me a pass on everything.
Okay.
But I did encounter some resentment because of the attention I was given. And when you're trying to recover with PTSD, you know, that doesn't help.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Disorder,
okay. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, what the experience was like when you returned?
Well, there was a lot of attention as far as the media, and, you know, I had to deal with the physical wounds. I was shot in both legs, and, you know, just dealing with the fact that we lost 11 people,
okay.
That I did spend that time in captivity, and I wasn't the same person that left. It was a hard road, not just for myself, but for my family, too, because I think they really expected the same Shauna that left to be the one that came back, and that person's gone.
Have you been able to recover from most of it?
Physically, somewhat. I mean, I still have a lot of problems with my legs, a lot of scar tissue, nerve damage, things like that. Mentally, it's an ongoing process. I still go to therapy. I still deal with nightmares and flashbacks, but it has gotten better. And I feel with my continued therapy that I will be okay eventually.
And does the military cover that in terms of recognition that you do have this and making sure that you get all the medical treatment that you have, that you need?
Yes, it wasn't a fight in the beginning. At first, they didn't really want to acknowledge that I had PTSD. And I had to fight them on it. But it is in my medical records. It is a fact. I do get therapy from the Army and VA to help me deal with my issues.
Good.
I think the last thing they want to see is on television former POW, you know, loses her fight with PTSD or something like that. So they do step up to the plate and help.
Have you been able to use your benefits to go to culinary school?
Yes, I'm in culinary school at the moment.
Very good.
I'm studying to become a pastry chef, and I plan to use every bit of my GI Bill. So if I finish culinary school and there's still something left, I'll go back and learn about restaurant management and keep on going until it's all gone.
How old is your daughter now?
Oh, she's nine. Going to be 10 in May. Driving me crazy.
Does she have ambitions to grow up and be a military person?
Well, if she wanted to, I would always leave that open to her. We'd definitely sit down and talk about, you know, what it's really like to be in the military. Mm-hmm. You know, those nice commercials with Gary Sinise and that voiceover mm-hmm. about making you Army strong mm-hmm. is very nice, but it's not necessarily everything that you need to know when you join the military. So I definitely sit down with her and let her know what it's really about. And if she still chose to do it, then I would support her 110%. But at the moment, she's, like, not into it at all.
I don't know if you heard it, but at the introduction to the interview, we played a segment of, was it Don't You Remember Me? By Jill Scott. One, because we heard that you like Jill Scott, and two, because in reading some of the things that I had read about you, I kind of wondered, not just for you, but you know, if the military really did remember the people who were out there. I mean, your situation was seen around the world, and yet when you came back, I hate to say it, but I just had the impression that some of your colleagues were just a little petty about the fact that you were getting, I don't know, what is it, you got ringside seats at a Oscar De La Hoya fight, and,
yes.
and that some of the upper brass were a little surprised and dismayed that you were showing up at very shishi-poo-poo, as Oprah would say, events that they were at. But I'm thinking, this is pretty darn petty when somebody's been in Iraq. You know, they were a prisoner of war. I thought, you know, comported yourself beautifully. I remember hearing you say something like, you know, you really didn't want to be a crying female. So I just kind of felt like you had done your part. And that when you came back, not only should you have been given support for any physical ills that you had, but that, you know, the service should have stepped up and made sure that you and everybody else, not just you, but that everybody else had every bit of support that you needed to get. And to hear that some of your fellow service people were upset because you got attention and they didn't. I was very disappointed to hear that.
It was very disappointing, and it was hard. I never in a million years thought some of my fellow soldiers would be so petty. And I remember that same gentleman that complained about me going to the De La Hoya fight. Years later, I ran into him. Two or three years later, and he was still upset about that fight. And I'm like, let it go, man. You know, and then, you know, that's when I started to say, I was like, you know what, I feel sorry for you. You can't go on with who you need to be and what you need to accomplish in your life to make you happy. You're still worried about what happened years ago, about my special moment years ago. I was like, that's sad. You are real sad.
I want to say that I am really glad that you wrote a book. When I told my students about what I was going to be doing today and told them about you, uh-huh. I mean, some of the girls' eyes were like, because I don't think they had thought of going to the military as an option before. They were very excited about hearing this. I'm really glad you wrote this book.
Well, thank you.
I want to ask, why did you decide to write?
Well, it was a combination of things. First, you know, my family was on me to write it from the get-go. And I was like, you know, I love y'all, but just because y'all think that people want to read my story doesn't mean it's necessarily true. You know, they're very supportive, very loving, and, you know, they think the best.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know. But after a while, I began to hear so many different stories about what happened from people who were nowhere near Iraq, nowhere near Anazaria, and want to tell me what happened to me. So I really needed to put the truth out there from my point of view and so I can have some peace of mind about the information that's out there. I want people to understand the truth.
Well, I saw a YouTube clip of you on CNN. Let me see. Dr. Phil was there and another person who was a JAG officer, and I don't remember his name. No, I thought you were excellent, and I looked at some of the comments, and a lot of people thought the same thing. But, you know, I just think that your fellow servicemen and women should be so proud of you, especially the ones who are not officers, because I thought you represented them so well. But could you give us a little background on this, how this came about, and just tell folks what happened that evening, especially in terms of somebody not being there, being the expert, and you being there, and they not even recognizing that you're the expert? Ugh.
Well, first of all, I felt bad because I lost my temper.
I'm glad you did. And you didn't appear to lose your temper. I thought it was a little righteous indignation, but I thought you handled it well. But I'm sorry, go on. Okay. Let me let you talk.
I don't regret anything I said. I back what I said completely, but I felt I should have controlled my temper a little bit. But, the Fort Hood situation, and they were, this JAG officer, and I really...
Would you tell people what a JAG officer is?
It's just basically an Army attorney. He specializes in military law and things like that. And he was a defense attorney for the Army. And he made a comment that, we should make assumptions by this man's last name, that he was a terrorist. And then there was some talk about maybe he was dealing with some mental issues. And he made the comment that because he was an officer, not some lower enlisted, that he should be able to deal with the stresses of combat and all that kind of stuff. And I was really upset, first of all, because you never make a judgment based on anybody's last name, their religion, or their color.
Thank you.
And as attorney for the United States Army, he should have known better than to make a nasty little comment like that. And second, how can he assume, because of someone's education, that they can't succumb to the stresses of combat, or even as a medical professional, listening to soldiers 24/7 talk about their issues in Iraq and Afghanistan and, some violent things that happen? How can you not think that they would succumb to some of the stress of that? He was just really being ignorant.
He was. And what did he say? He asked you if you had been in Iraq?
Had I ever been to Iraq?
Oh.
And that, I think to me, that just showed he really was all about himself. Everyone was introduced at the beginning of the interview segment. I knew his name, Tom, and, because we were introduced, he didn't bother to pay attention because it was all about him. And that's really sad, and I hope that, someone sat him down and spoke to him, because it bothers me to think that there could be a soldier in trouble and this is the man that's going to defend them.
Well, actually, though he was sitting, I kind of felt that you sat him down and got him straight in the nicest way when you just said that, you were a prisoner of war. That, yes, you had been there. And I don't know, there was another part of it where you said something like, that he should not ever, compare your experience to his or something. I don't remember the exact words, but I just said, for all the enlisted people, for all the non-officers, hooray for you that you spoke up for them. I thought it was great, and I thought you did look indignant, and I thought that you should have been indignant. I encourage all the people who are listening this morning, go to www.youtube.com and put in Shoshana Johnson and CNN and look at that clip.
Oh, my God.
Because I felt that it said a lot about you and your integrity, that you weren't just going to sit there. That, sometimes you have to speak the truth, and sometimes you have to speak it forcefully and clearly. And I thought you did an excellent job.
Well, thank you.
I really did.
Yeah. I unfortunately, some people like to take away things what they may. There was some people that thought I was supporting or defending the gentleman in Fort Hood. I'm like, no, that's not the case at all. Whatever punishment he gets, he deserves. He took the lives of a lot of soldiers. But that is no reason for anybody to start judging others based on their religion or their last name.
Well, now, what,
Nicholas.
What do you want the next phase of your life to be? What's next for you?
Definitely finishing school. You know, I want to finish culinary school and maybe do some catering, you know, wedding cakes, quinceanera cakes, that kind of thing. That's my thing. You know, I would love to have more kids. You know, not a single parent thing again, because that's hard. You know, I want young girls to understand that's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. But, you know, if it comes along, it does. If it doesn't, then, you know, there's other things out there for me. I have, you know, I'm an American. There's so much I can do. You know, I have so many opportunities open to me, and sometimes you just need to sit back, think about it, and then go for it.
Good.
Do you see yourself in a big city in the U.S. working as a, I'm not sure which, do I call it a cook or
pastry chef?
Pastry chef.
No, I don't see, I like my small town America. I live in El Paso, Texas, and I like traveling to bigger cities, but I also love coming home.
Oh, yeah.
But you've been traveling to a lot of cities. What's it been like to be an author, be on the road? Because you've been going to a lot of different places.
It's been a lot. You know, I am so grateful that I didn't attempt to do this when I first came home, because it takes a lot out of you, and there's no way mentally I would have been able to handle all of this when I first came home. No way. So it's been fun, you know, a lot of shishi hotels and stuff like that. But it's also wonderful to come home to my daughter, my dogs. I have three dogs, and my parents who live around the corner.
Okay. So you're not going to give up the quiet life and just be on the road and on television all the time?
No, and you know what? That when I was in the military, I spent a lot of time away. I missed her first birthday, her first steps, and now I get to see, like, every little thing. So, nah, it's real nice. And, you know, maybe I will get to do some other things, you know, do a little segment, cooking segment or something like that, but it has to be spaced properly so I could come home and spend time with my daughter.
Your book came out 2 weeks ago?
February 2nd.
Okay. So, about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
How has it been received?
I've got a lot of good reviews. I really haven't had any bad reviews, any at all. You know, so I've been very blessed. You know, I've also, you know, I would love to get it, like, on the bestsellers list so I could pay my mortgage. That'd be cool. I am the average American. I just want to pay off my mortgage and put my daughter's college money away.
Yeah.
So that would be nice. But as long as people enjoy reading it and get something from it, I'm happy.
One other thing, are you in touch with Jessica Lynch? Because there was at some point, I think, some controversy about the fact that while you had to fight for your benefits, she did not. And that while there was like a brief moment for your story, that there was this whole big media construction for her, which in fact wasn't even the truth, but it went on for a long time. So did that at all affect your relationship? Did you get to know her, friends,
We were friends before. We've been friends all this time. I spoke to her a couple weeks ago, actually, when the book first came out, and I was having some issues because, you know, some people made some nasty comments after an article on AOL. And I talked to her, and I was like, you know, how do you deal with this? You know, Lynch got some hate mail at one point, you know, a lot of things said about her. And I was like, you know, how do you go on? And she was like, you know what? We were there, they weren't, and, you know, what it comes down to is no matter what they say, we got to go on with our lives, and we know the truth of what we did. So she was like, you're a strong woman, you'll be fine, you'll be all right. And, you know, she's right. I was there. No one can tell me what happened.
And you are a strong woman because you've come through this. But, I mean, I just personally, and I'm sure speaking for a lot of people, want to say, one, thank you to you and all the service people who are over there protecting things for those of us who are not. We appreciate you. We respect you. And you have our support.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
And further, thank you for being willing to tell your story.
Thank you very much. It was hard, but I think, you know, putting the truth out there makes a difference to me. And for anyone listening, you know, I just wanted to say Bake Me a Wish is an organization. They you could order birthday cakes and stuff from them offline. And for the last, what is it, about 2 years now, they have taken 5% of all their proceeds and donated it toward having birthday cakes flown out to Iraq and Afghanistan for soldiers. And I think that's really wonderful. I think the best thing any individual can do is find your own way to contribute to those who are deployed. You know, it's really hard being away from family and friends. And when you hear that someone you don't know just sends you a card, says a thank you, it means the world.
Could you give us your website? Because I know you have some information about that on your website. So if people want to know more, What should they do? Is
ShoshanaJohnson.com.
Okay, good. Well, we are wrapping up Black Book Talk for March. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us. And
thank
we hope that you will
me.
Be in Portland soon. We'll be looking forward to that.
Oh, maybe. You never know.
Okay. Well, this is Patricia Welch, the Library Lady.
And Emma Jackson Ford, Book Woman.
And we are saying good reading to all of you. Good books. Read something. Read this book, first of all. I'm Still Standing by Shoshana Johnson, published by Simon & Schuster. And have a good Women's History Day. We're going to go back to a little bit of Jill Scott, and we will see you next month.